Just during the break, we were looking at the position of Switzerland during World War II.
在刚刚中场休息的时候呢，我们在讨论说瑞士在世界二战的时候它的角色，它的自我定位。
It's interesting that Switzerland, as far as I know, is the only country to remain neutral during World War II.
在二次世界大战的这个欧洲战场上的这些国家里面，大概是主要是瑞士是保持中立的。
And the reason was quite clear, actually, is because they had a very strong military.
那会造成瑞士可以能够保持中立，其实有一个很重要的原因，可能大家都没有在谈论的是，瑞士其实有非常强大的军事能力。
Basically, they mobilized anybody over the age of 12 years old to become like a soldier with a weapon. They gave them a weapon and showed them how to use it.
而且呢他们是叫做全国皆兵哦，只要是那个12岁以上 How about female?、
Not that I know, but I think most females that they actually knew how to use a gun, but they weren't part of the official army.
就是12岁以上的少年哦，他们就已经让他们训练成可以持枪打仗的小男生。
I know the Russians are very open about allowing women to be in the army, and even great pilots who were women during World War II.
而且呢那就像那个苏联他们在世界二战的时候他们其实也是让男女皆兵啊，甚至有一些飞行员是女性的。
But that's not a biblical concept. The Bible specifically states that only men should be soldiers because you shouldn't have to bring in women into your army, especially if God's on your side.
那其实在圣经的教导里面、啊、是认为只有男性应该要上战场女性不应该上战场的而且如果神是站在你这一边根本不需要再用到女生跟小孩
yeah, There's really only one case in the scripture where a woman takes on a military role and that was where Barak was a soldier He was commanded to lead the army and he did a terrible job and so God put Deborah into the positionIf you remember the story about Deborah, it's in the book of Judges. The guy that was supposed to be leading the armies, he was just a coward and he was useless.
就是有一位不是王啊，有一位以色列的这个军队领导，他做了非常糟糕的工作，那就他做的带领的非常不好，所以他后来就只好有一位叫 Deborah 的一位女士呢，来代替他来领导这个军队。
It's like God was going to say, well, I'm going to teach you a lesson because I'm going to let a woman do your job and she's going to show you how it's done.
所以那个神就跟这位男士说啊，你实在做得太差了，让我来告诉你应该怎么样带兵打仗。所以他就教了这一位 Deborah 这个女性来带兵。
Now the Bible is very clear that ultimately it was the Lord Jehovah that gave them the victory.
但是后来实际上呢，是耶和华来帮助这个军队打胜仗的。
But Deborah was leading the troops and she was glorified for that. She was honored for that.
而那个 Deborah, 这个女性的将军呢她则是在当时是带领军队的那一个能够荣耀神的那一位。
But again, that's pretty much an exception. Generally, the Bible says only men should be in the army.
但是这是一个非常特殊的状态因为否则话整个圣经是说应该只有男性应该进入军队。
But in Switzerland during World War II, at its peak, there were 850,000 young men, not necessarily as full-time soldiers, but they were given a gun and trained how to use it and said, you are part of our army.
在瑞士在二次世界大战的时候呢，他们几乎有85万大军，里面包含12岁的小男生，都是能够拿着枪打仗的，非常强大的军队。
It doesn't take long how to use a gun properly.
其实要学习怎么用枪并不是那么难。
Yeah, last year when we went to Houston, we had friends take us out to a gun range and even Bam learned how to shoot a small gun. And it only takes an hour or so and then you can get quite proficient.
在那个去年的时候那个 Tim 带着 Bam 一起去 Houston, 休斯顿的时候他们还去了玩了一个小时的做了一个小时的这个射击训练、哦、Bam 才14岁女生一样这个射击的不错。
We had good teachers actually. The husband, he was like an ex-marine, and then the wife, she was actually a teacher from Baraka Church, and his wife was a teacher at the police academy teaching how to shoot guns. So it was quite a privilege. But it's not that difficult to learn how to shoot a gun properly.
而他们有非常棒的教练，那个男生是海军陆战队的过去的这个教师，然后还 他的太太呢是专门教导警察怎么样射击的，所以他们有非常好的老师教他们怎么样射击，那他们觉得还真的不是很难。
Yeah, but it's a very easy and efficient way to increase your army very quickly. You work out who the patriotic citizens are, and you give them a gun, and you teach them how to use it. And within 2 weeks, you have a million-man army, depending on the size of your country, of course.
其实呢，如果你能够找到这些爱国的这些年轻人，给他们两个礼拜的训练，他们就会变成非常优秀的军队，所以真的不需要花很多时间就可以养成一个很大的这个甚至百万大军，当然要看你的国家有多少人口啦。
And for that reason, Switzerland remained neutral all the way through World War II. They were able to basically maintain a fairly normal existence.
所以为什么瑞士可以在二次世界大战的时候保持中立，就是因为他们全国皆兵的这种概念，他们每一个国民的爱国心都很强，而且都有很愿意为国而牺牲的这种强大的一个使命感，所以他们才有机会不被纳粹进攻变成是一个中立国。
Now Hitler was crazy, but he wasn't stupid.
希特勒呢，他很疯，但是他不笨。
And he did know that if he tried to attack Switzerland, which is actually a very mountainous country as well, he would have lost too many men. It just wasn't worth it.
而他呢，就是知道说瑞士呢，这个以山居大部分土地的这个国家呢，如果他要来打这个瑞士，他会失去太多太多的这个他的军力，而不见得能够占优势，所以他就才会放过瑞士，要让他们中立。
And for that reason, Switzerland remained neutral during the war, and it actually became a place of refuge for people escaping the Nazis, like Jews, for example. A lot of Jewish people went to Switzerland to escape.
也因此呢，在二战时期呢，瑞士呢，它一直可以保持中立，同时它成为很多难民的这个保守难民的这些人的地方。
Okay, and Switzerland was blessed for their position.But it did require courage, and it required the fact that they had to recognize that they needed protection through a strong military.
所以瑞士呢，他们也因为这样子有这样的一个特殊的待遇，可以让他保持中立，同时他们也可以拥有他们自己的军力。
Some countries during a war, they might try to remain neutral. They say, we're going to be pacifist and we're not going to choose any side. Well, they're going to get wiped out.
很多在战争时期呢，跟这个敌军说，哦，我们要保持中立，我们不会站在左方、右方哪一方，但是实际上并没有逃过被人家给整个占领歼灭的状态。
But getting back to our story, see, Austria got taken over by Germany very quickly, and that's because a lot of Austrians were actually pro-Nazi.
而奥地利在二次世界大战为什么会这么快就会被德国占领，其实是因为奥地利本身的国民有非常多是比较情愿被成为纳粹的一边的。
It's because they had a history going back with Germany. They actually were at one stage like a united country. It's going back to like the 19th century. Before they became separate, they were actually like a united country.
在19世纪的时候，其实奥地利跟德国是同一个国家的，所以这也是在历史上他们奥地利是会有这个情感，说他们是跟德国是一家的，不应该要打仗。
Yeah, so they shared a common history and they had a common language.
所以奥地利跟德国其实是有共同的历史，共同的语言。
A lot of the Austrians were also anti-Semitic. They hated the Jews as well. It was just something that happened at that time of history. And so Hitler's anti-Jewish policy sounded good to them.
而且呢，那些奥地利人呢，也跟德国人一样，是非常厌恶这个犹太人的。所以当希特勒有这个所谓的要恨犹太人的这些政策的时候，奥地利人并没有反对。
Now remember, God never lets anti-Semitism go unpunished. And so a lot of these Austrians had to suffer for their pro-Nazi or anti-Semitic attitude.
而且我们要知道呢，在圣经就有教导，就是如果是怨恨犹太人的这种人，他一定会受到这个神的这个咒诅的。所以这些奥地利人在二战的时候的确是受苦受难，因为他们是站在反犹太人的角度。
And also a lot of the Austrian people, like the Germans and other people around Europe, they were caught up in the emotional buzz that here was this man who was going to save Europe, meaning Hitler.
而且呢，奥地利人以及德国人，他们很显然的就是当时都认为这整个国家是会被希特勒来拯救，然后他们会复兴，会大大的得胜。
And you see this if you go online and you can look at movie clips, old movie reels, they call them, of when Hitler was doing his parades.
Which movie?
Just if you look on YouTube, there's old news clips. About that time, in like pre-World War II or during World War II, Hitler would be doing a parade and he'd be standing in the car and hundreds of thousands of people just screaming, Heil Hitler!
如果你回到那种和二战前期啊的这些新闻的影片，你可以看到就是他希特勒常常会去这个所谓游行啊，那所有他所经历的地方都是千万人上百万人啊，几十万几百万人的人会站到街上，真的这个由衷的去对希特勒敬拜、yeah. 崇拜。
Or you see movie clips of him when he's doing his presentation to the audiences and he's standing up in front of a huge crowd of people and he's screaming and slamming the desk and screaming all kinds of, well, his policies, evil. Now, if you look at what he's saying, it's very evil. But the people were just enraptured by it and they were just totally attracted to this man.
然后也以及呢，我们如果有机会看到那个希特勒演讲的时候，在广场上面的大型演讲，那些他讲的很多很多的话的内容，现在看起来都是非常非常邪恶的概念。可是呢，下面的群众呢，却都是非常的受他的话的这个激励和启发跟吸引。
Now remember last week I mentioned the term mob mentality. It's where you basically let go of your own volition.You let go of your own free will, and you follow the leader of the mob. Whatever he says, you do.
上礼拜我们有在课堂上讲到 mob, 就是这种群众型的这种影响力。这些在群众里的人，他会放弃他个人的自由意志，而跟随着这个整个团队的领导、领袖去做他根本在他的自由意志里面根本是可能是不对的一个事情。
See, the mob means a whole crowd of people that really aren't thinking properly. There's going to be one person, and that person, he says the right words at the right time, and everybody else says, okay, that's my mentality too. That's what I want to do too.
这所谓的这个团体的这种群众态度，它其实就是说在这群众里面的那个领导者讲出来的话，在对的时间里讲出对群众来讲是对的事情，那所有的人他们就认为，哦，那就是我所想，我所要，然后我就是要跟随。
Yeah. I've seen this in churches as well, especially you get exciting worship sessions. And whatever the worship leader says, everybody says, Amen.
其实在这一些教会里面的这些牧师讲到的时候，你也会看到这种状态，就是当牧师啊非常激昂的在讲到的时候，然后群众的一起说阿们好的那种群众的态度。
And the worship leader might say, you know, God is love. Everyone goes, Amen. They're agreeing. That's okay. You know, yes, God is love. So the worship leader, God is love. And everyone goes, Amen. So, you know, that's okay.
Yeah. 就有时候比如说牧师讲说啊、哦、那个神是爱，然后群众就说阿们好，这样子的那种状况还好吧。
But what if the worship leader says, okay, and now we're going to call on the Holy Spirit to come upon us all. And now we're going to call up to heaven and let the Holy Spirit come upon us.
然后呢有时候那个牧师讲说啊，我们现在要对着天堂这个呼喊请圣灵降临。
And everyone says, Amen.
那大家说 Amen.
Well, they're involved in blasphemy. Well, you don't just shout up to God and say, let the Holy Spirit come upon us. Right?
但是我们也想想看喊了神就会把圣灵降临吗？
Yeah, because we know that the filling of the Holy Spirit only comes by naming your sins.
其实我们都知道我们要怎么样才会圣灵充满，是我们必须要对神认罪，在完全圣洁的状态下圣灵才会降临。
I've heard a lot of things said in church sessions, and obviously the person's very excited and you'll say it, and everybody says Amen when it's not true. Well, now you're responsible for saying that Amen.
就是说在很多教会里会看到牧师这样的喊，然后大家就一起阿们，就认为这样是对的。
But actually, and it says in 1 Corinthians 14:33, I think it is, and it says, God is not a God of confusion.
在哥林多前书14章35节说，我们的神不是一个混淆的神。
Because people get into a mob mentality, you might say, well, it's not confusion, everybody's agreeing with each other. But actually, there's a lot of confusion regarding what people are thinking in the audience, because they're following one person. If he knows what he's talking about, it's okay. But people get carried away by their emotions. They should be thinking with their mentality.
所以在这种所谓的群众的这个相互影响中呢，很多时候群众就失去了他自我的意志跟判断力，然后他们就跟随，盲目的跟随这个领导者。
And it's the same, like when these German people lined up on the side of the streets and Hitler would come down and one person would say Heil Hitler and then everybody says Heil Hitler, of course.
I think it's rule they have to say.
Well, yeah, I guess so, yeah.
那但是对这个希特勒在那个时代哈，这个游行的时候所有的路边的人都要说 Hi Hitler 的这种呢，基本上已经就是变成是一个完全没有自由意志的一个群众的一个行为。
Yeah, in some cases it sort of was a rule but maybe an unwritten rule. But if you didn't do it, you'd be carried off as a traitor. So in that way, it really was a rule, I guess.
在这种状况下呢，我们说哦，这是不是规定要这么做，也不绝对不是写下来的规定，它一定是没写下来的规定，因为当你没喊说 Hi Hitler, 很可能你在之后就被秘密警察带走了。
Now the man in the movie, his name was Franz. Remember, he had his own free will. He recognized he had his own free will, and he recognized that he could, under God, use his free will to reject Hitler, to say, I'm not going to say Heil Hitler.
而这个隐藏的生活里面的男主角 Franz 呢，他很清楚神是有给他自由意志的，而且他从这里他知道他应该要运用他的自由意志，不要盲从于希特勒。
This is one characteristic you'll see of these invisible heroes, is that they're doing something that no one else is doing. They're going to be doing the opposite of what the mob is doing.
所以这个就是 Franz 呢，他就是一个很明显的案例啊，就是说他不要追随其他的这种群众去做他认为不对的事情。
Remember in the case of Daniel, how everybody in the land of Babylon, that's in Babylon, the city of Babylon and their surrounding areas, they were commanded to bow down whenever the trumpet blew. They had to bow down to the statue.
有另外一个圣经上面的故事，就是当但以理哈，他在巴比伦城的时候呢，他就不愿意向所有的其他的人，这当然是那个巴比伦王的规定啊，一天要对着巴比伦王的这个铜像礼敬礼，那但以理就拒绝。
Is it Daniel or the three friends? Oh, it must have been the three friends. They had Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. That was his, sorry, it was another story. But there was those three young men.
对不起，是不是但以理，是另外三个年轻人。
Yeah, but they refused to bow down, and they were going to be punished for that.
所以他们当然这三个年轻人就要被处罚咯。
But in Daniel's case, there was a decree that you could only pray to the heathen gods, I think. And Daniel was caught praying. He was praying to his God, and that's what got Daniel in trouble.
那但以理的故事是另外一个，就是说他被规定不准向其他的任何神去祷告，而但以理还是维持他每天祷告的习惯。
See, he was doing what nobody else was. He was doing the right thing, and everybody else was doing the wrong thing.
所以但以理是唯一在做着对的事情的人，而其他的人都是做着错的事情。
And as is the attitude, for the majority of people, they're going to look at people like Daniel and his three friends, and they're just going to say, oh, well, you're just being trivial, you're being petty, and you deserve to be locked up because you're going to cause embarrassment or you're going to cause some kind of trouble to our country.
You're talking about
the majority will look at the one person, and like these people with Franz.
Right.
They're saying, why are you causing so much trouble?
所以这样在这种非常少数的人做的事情跟非常大众都不一样的时候，那些大众就会把这个小众的人说你是造成麻烦的人。
And that's what these people were trying to say to Franz. And one man, for example, this is in the quote here from Judge Lubin to Franz, he said, do you imagine that anything that you do will change the course of the war? He doesn't want the course of war to change.Because he's on the winning side at that point.
大家看这个投影片的最下面这一段哦，有一个法官 Lubin， 他就对这个 Franz 说呢，你可以想象，就是任何你做的事情可以改变这一个战争吗？
This is before he sort of went through the process of going to the court in Berlin, I guess. But at every level, he had Nazis telling him, what are you going to do? It's not going to make any difference. Why don't you just give in?
所以这个 France 他在不同的阶段、啊、都会碰到不同的人来跟他讲说你做的这些事你真的认为会改变纳粹的这些作为吗
Even the, what do you call him, like the minister of the church, it was like a Catholic church, was saying to him, oh, yeah, just make things simple, just give in and say you're Heil Hitler and then everybody will be okay.
就连那个天主教堂的这个神父都跟他讲说你就何不让事情简单化呢你就跟着大家一起做呢就没事啦。
You really think you can make a difference?
你真的可以造成一些不一样吗
And actually these people had become so embedded in the system, they couldn't agree with France, even if they wanted to, because if they agreed with France, then they would be on the other side of the Nazis, they would be opposing Hitler, and they would be in trouble as well.
所以这些人呢他们其实呢是已经在这个系统中不敢去做跟系统不一样的事 或想法因为只要他们也许他们内在是同意反而 France 的但是他如果做了跟 France 一样的事情他们就等于是在对抗纳粹
For that quote that we had last week here just the one above the quote we just read Major Schlegel He was just saying to France He said sign this paper which means being a good Nazi and you'll go free
这位纳粹的官员就跟他说你签字了你就会可以自由了然后 and then France said
okay but before that you know, it seems so easy a lot of people say all you have to do is sign your name how difficult is it to sign your name
对大家来讲说哇签个名多简单的事你签了一个名你就自由了为什么不做呢
and you'd save your life and your family would be happy because they, you know, your children would have a father and then you could liveHappily ever after or something.
就说第一个你签了名你就自由了而且你的家庭大家都松口气了你的小孩也就会有个父亲了。
And from these people's point of view, they're looking at Franz and saying he's arrogant.
所以站在那些人的角度呢 Franz 是一个非常傲慢的人。
And he's inflexible.
而且没有弹性的人。
Okay, but Franz Jagerstatter said, I am free already, meaning in his soul he was free.
而这个 Franz 他就说呢我已经是自由的。所以在他的魂里他是的确他是自由的。
One of the greatest things that, or actually the greatest thing a Christian can recognize is that he has eternal life in Jesus Christ.
对于一个基督徒来讲他已经是有一个永生的生命对于在基督里。
And the reason is because generally before you believe in Jesus Christ, you're afraid of dying.
因为在他你成为基督徒以前，你是会怕你会死的。
Most people are afraid of dying.
很多人都是怕死的。
Even a lot of Christians, if they don't really understand, you know, the great things that waits them on the other side.
即使是一个基督徒，他们都有的时候都还不是很确定，他。在此后会有另外更美好的生活在生命在另外一边。
We should actually look forward to dying. I'm not saying you're going to commit suicide, but death is going to be the greatest thing that could ever happen to you.
对我们基督徒来讲，我们其实不应该会怕死，因为死了可能是最好的一个未来的开始。
And one of the reasons why this coronavirus has had such an influence on the world is not because the virus itself is so dangerous.And, you know, statistics have proven it's bad, but it's no worse than any major epidemic. But it's just because people are afraid of dying. And the governments and the media are promoting that. They're promoting how dangerous this thing is. It's really not that dangerous. Looking from a Christian perspective, if you die, so what? That's good.
所以对于这个我们冠新冠病毒来讲呢，其实很多人被这个媒体啊政府啊吓得就是说哦这是有史以来最恐怖的传染病。但实际上从传染度来说它并没有这么样恐怖。但是最主要大家认为它恐怖就是害怕死。
As time has gone on, you know, since the last 6 or 7 or 8 months, they've done more and more testing, and then obviously with greater testing, they're finding more cases of coronavirus.
而在过去的六七八个月来呢大家呢是越来越多的人会做检测那只要你检测越多你就会发现越多的这个案例病例
I think it's got to the stage in India, they're really increasing their testing program. They're finding like maybe 50 to 80,000 cases per day, like new cases.
像印度呢，现在他们也用普筛的方式在做这个检测，所以他们每一天都会有5万到8万人的案例吗？
What are the statistics about India?
5-6 million cases total.
Yeah, but,
but how many a day?
A day, 50-60,000.
Okay.
Yeah.就是他们印度现在普筛的状况造成每天看到的案例都有5万到8万个。
But the number that's actually dying is very small. It's like 0.1 or maybe 0.05%. It's a really small number.
但是现在的这个所谓的这个死亡率其实非常低了，已经好像只到0.1%。
I'm sure more people die of food poisoning every day in India than die of coronavirus.
听想说印度的这个因为食物中毒而死的案例搞不好比这个新冠病毒而死的案例还要多。
Yeah. And the thing is, the more people you test, the more cases you're going to find. But you have to keep that in perspective, how many people are actually dying.
所以呢，普筛的话，如果走普筛的路线，你只要筛的越多，你就一定会发现越多案例。但是我们其实应该要了解的是，到底有多少人是因着新冠病毒而死，这个这样的这个百分比到底是不是多低啊？
It's like if you did an IQ test of, say, 1,000 people, you'd probably find that maybe 50 out of every 1,000 people are stupid. Or, you know, maybe even more. Because actually a level, if you get down to like minus, maybe 80, IQ of 80, that's quite dense, I think. And then you could say, well, look, we found 80 stupid people from this IQ test of testing 1,000 people.
他说如果我们做全部的这个智商测验的话，我们测的越多，我们就会发现这个笨人越多。
And then if you tested 1 million people, now you're going to find what 80,000 stupid people. You're going to find the more people you test, the more stupid people you're going to find, right?
I say that.
Oh,
already,
you did. Okay. Yeah. So the fact, but what they're doing is they're using these statistics to close down whole economies. The world economy is basically collapsing.
所以我们不能够因为用这种普筛的方式呢去就得到了一些案病例，然后就认为应该要把整个经济的这个运作都停下来，结果整个经济就受伤很大。
Apparently 20% or 25% of businesses in Thailand, and they have a very tight policy about coronavirus. They closed the country basically. 25% of businesses, of registered businesses are going out of business, and even more of the unregistered businesses. And the economy is really collapsing.
In Thailand.
In Thailand.
像在泰国啊，他们有计算，就是有被注册的这些公司啊，大概已经有25%以上左右啦的公司已经倒闭了。那更不要提那些没有注册的小生意。
And in New Zealand, and New Zealand being very proud that they closed the country, you can't even send mail. You can't send letters to New Zealand, and you can't get letters out of New Zealand. And they made so many rules and restrictions, and a lot of businesses are closing down, and GDP is now down 12% on the previous year.
然后呢，纽西兰呢，更惨哦，他们的 GDP 下降 12%。比去年，那而且呢，他们根本就不准有邮件的出或入这个纽西兰的国家。
People are losing their jobs and whole industries are collapsing.
所以整个国家的这个经济是完全崩盘，而且大家都很多都失业了。
And this is only the beginning. See, the real results will probably start to come in towards the end of the year and next year.
而这还只是开始，那接下来会怎么样？应该是越到今年年底到明年，可能会看到一个非常非常严重的经济的崩盘。
Okay, and the reason is, you know, the economies will collapse and then people will lose their jobs as they're doing. Suicides will increase, family violence, murder will increase as well, crime will increase.
而且呢，这经济崩盘还只是一件事情，很多的自杀，很多的家庭问题，很多的犯罪率全部升高，就整个就是国家乱七八糟。
And it's all because people are afraid of dying.
都是因为大家害怕死。
Yeah. And of course the governments as well, they like to have the power. That's one of the reasons why they were keeping the economies closed. And they were using that power to basically control the people.
而且呢，为什么政府会这样鼓励？是因为政府也想要让人害怕， 所以他们这样政府更能够控制这个国家。
And that's part of the satanic strategy. You always got to look at things in context of the angelic conflict. Satan wants people to be afraid. He wants to give power to the governments.
所以呢，这个其实就是所谓撒旦的诡计，因为撒旦就是要人害怕。因为撒旦就是希望政府更有权力，他这样的话更容易控制这些人。
During World War II, it was no different. You know, Satan had found a minion, an agent in Hitler, because Hitler had this grand plan to take over the world and set up a 1,000-year kingdom. Doesn't that sound familiar?
所以呢，在二次世界大战也是一样，撒旦就发现希特勒可以变成他的代理人。你想想看，希特勒跟大家、跟德国人，他允诺是说他将会建立一个有千年历史的德国，全世界第一大强国。这样的说法是不是很熟悉呢？
Yeah, and a lot of Christians are actually saying, well, no, he's this thousand-year reign, he's trying to imitate Jesus Christ, and he must be the Antichrist, because he's trying to imitate God's plan. So they were accusing Hitler of being the Antichrist, which he is. He's an Antichrist, but he's not the Antichrist.
很多人就会来批判说，哎，希特勒他根本就是没有说他是反基督，但他其实就做了一个他可以替代基督的这种反基督的行为。
Yeah, maybe even Christian Germans that were saying he's the Antichrist, but they were saying Heil Hitler. They didn't have the courage of their convictions to say this is the Antichrist, but they would say Heil Hitler because they were scared.
而那些德国的基督徒，他们绝对心里面了解希特勒根本就是反基督了，他所作所为就是在反基督。但是这些基督徒在德国的他是不敢讲的，所以看到了希特勒还是要说 Hi Hitler。
Okay, anyway, I've got to stop for another 10-minute break, so we'll come back at 4:10.
好，我们4:14. Oh, sorry, 4:10. 4:10再回来，休息一下。